This week, I had initially planned on talking about something completely different. And then, Adele dropped her new album. Now, I know Adele's music isn't exactly in line with that of the other artists I typically discuss on this show, but as soon as I had my first listen through of this record, I knew that I wanted to talk about 30 and everything Adele has ever done right, which, in all honesty, is pretty much every album that she's ever put out. What I think sets Adele apart from the majority of popular artists today is not only her obvious raw vocal talent, but her incredible songwriting and storytelling ability as well. With each new release, she so openly dives into each chapter of her life and provides audiences with a raw commentary of her experiences. I think this relatability and transparency is why she has become one of the most successful artists of her time. With 15 Grammys, 9 Brit Awards, an Academy Award, a Golden Globe Award, and 18 Billboard Music Awards. Oh, and 5 American Music Awards as well, to prove it. This week, we're shifting gears to the modern music landscape to take a look at the smash success story of Adele. Good afternoon, Golden Hawks, and thanks for tuning in to Radio Laurier. My name is Megan, and you are listening to The Downbeat, the show where I get into the nitty-gritty, the deep cuts, and the hot topics of rock and roll throughout the decades. This episode, I ask you gotta bear with me. I have a bit of a sore throat, a little bit of a stuffy nose, so you can definitely hear it in my voice, but I apologize for that. That being said, let's dive into it. Adele's rise to fame was pretty quick. Born in 1988, she was raised by her working-class mother in London. She never met her father, but she says that there was no known musical history on either side of her family. Despite this, she quickly discovered her passion for singing at a very young age. She was raised on popular music of the time, but herself gravitated to more passionate-sounding artists with strong vocal abilities. She's named Lauryn Hill, Mary J. Blige, and Alicia Keys, all as some of her early favorites, as well as some older artists, such as Etta James and Ella Fitzgerald. So, it's clear that Adele was strongly influenced by Black female singers and the soul music they either performed or they themselves paid homage to. But I'm pretty sure you didn't need me to tell you this. In any given Adele song, these roots are evident in her belting vocals and string-filled instrumental accompaniment. Although she herself admits it sounds cliche, hearing these artists rather than the music of charting artists at the time that she was exposed to at home, Adele had an awakening of sorts. She said that it was the longevity of these artists that inspired her. If she was listening to artists from 40 years ago, what was to stop her from making music that others could enjoy 50 years down the line? From the beginning, Adele had her heart set on being a legend. And let me tell you, she didn't disappoint.
Who wants to be right? There's a rain, is better when something is wrong. You get excitement in your bones and everything you do's a game.
At the age of 14, she left public school to attend the Brit Performing Arts School. This institution also fostered the talents of many other British powerhouses, including Amy Winehouse. While attending the school, Adele's friend uploaded 3 of her demos onto the site MySpace. And to me, it's crazy to think that Adele got her start during the MySpace era, but she did. The original video of one of these demos can still be found on YouTube. It was filmed on her friend's cell phone in 2006, which is pretty obvious from the quality of the clip. But this does not deter the clear raw talent on display. Sitting on a chair in her computer room, Adele plays an acoustic guitar in an all-black smock and sings about a boy she calls Daydreamer. The same song became the first track on her very first album.
Daydreamer, sitting on the sea, soaking up the sun. He is a real lover of making up the past and feeling.
Among the other 2 demos uploaded to MySpace was a song by the title of Hometown Glory. This one garnered attention from the London-based label XL. At 18, Adele signed with them and began working on her first release, which she then put out in 2008. The record was the first of many named after the chapters of her life, and as such, it was appropriately named 19.
From my hometown, made memories of friends. From my hometown, ooh, the people I've made.
In In a recent interview with Vogue magazine, the artist said the most surprising thing about recording her first album was how much she really enjoyed recording in a studio. The record makes it quite evident that she had no problem getting comfortable in this setting. Each song is as raw and honest as those on her most recent release. That's one thing that I love about Adele, her consistency. When you listen to Adele, you're going to get quality every single time. It also helps that she somewhat knew what she was doing. In an interview around the time of the album's release, she said that it was a course requirement at the Brit School to be able to know how to record a song. I didn't know she had this sort of technical background, but it definitely makes sense given the polished quality of all of her releases. Another thing that might be surprising to some is that her rise to fame wasn't exactly as quick as most might think. To many, the release of Chasing Pavements and its success, the song was her first Billboard number one, marks the beginning of her success, but this is an annoyance to young Adele. She'd been working in clubs in LA and London leading up to the release of her first album, working towards gathering an audience. She said to E! News that this sort of assumption is quite annoying, given she worked hard for her success. Being coined an overnight sensation takes away from this. Discussing the subject matter of the album, Adele said that she wrote it about a boy she was dating who cheated on her. The song Chasing Pavements is about the night she found out. She said she went to the club he was at and started hitting him, leading her to getting kicked out of the place. And then she ran all the way home and just remembers chasing the pavement in front of her. When she got home, she wrote the song. Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements? So in terms of style, what exactly are we dealing with 19? Many consider that the album is a soul record because she writes all of her own songs and has a clear soul influence. But Adele herself, however, pegs it as a pop record, saying she writes from the soul, but that doesn't make the record itself a soul album. She had no set agenda for the style of the album. All she really wanted to do was write songs to get things off of her chest. Whatever the style may be, audiences and critics alike took a liking to it. Shortly after the release of 19, she won the Brit Critics' Choice Award. In the summer of 2008, she signed with Columbia, which is an American label, and thus 19 was hit with a second wave of success, thanks to North American audiences. That fall, after playing on Saturday Night Live, the record hit number one on iTunes. Also, let's keep in mind that this was before the streaming era, and thus iTunes charts were much more important in terms of measuring the success of artists and the releases that they put out. In 2009, the record earned her two Grammy Awards, collecting 50% of the awards she was nominated for, including Best New Artist. Is probably not the best known album that she's ever put out, given it was her first released. But the best known songs from the album include Chasing Pavements, which I'm sure you've heard, Hometown Glory, and Make You Feel My Love. The record went 8 times certified platinum in the UK and triple platinum in the US. To put it plainly, 19 rocketed Adele to success and gave her the means to continue making fantastic, top-notch music. Unfortunately, this success was tainted by a medical issue. After riding a wave of 19's success for a few years, the strain of touring caused her throat to hemorrhage during a French radio performance. This resulted in many canceled tour performances, but more importantly, was a threat to her entire livelihood. Adele had said singing was her life in every way possible. Writing was her outlet, singing was her joy, and making money, well, that helped too. In 2011, she had laser surgery to have polyps on her vocal cords removed. She told Anderson Cooper that the procedure involved lasers being stuck down her throat to cut out the polyps, and then the laser was used to hemorrhage or put the hemorrhage back together. Thankfully, reparative surgery was a success, allowing her to continue on with her career, which had just begun. Many speculate that the surgery changed her voice and some irreparable damage was done. But according to the singer herself, the only change that she really experienced was that her voice wasn't as raspy as it was before. If you want an idea of how her voice might have changed, it's best to consider the last record she recorded before the surgery, which was 21, with her 2015 release, 25. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's first talk about her most popular album and second release, 21.
Now rumor has it she ain't got your love anymore.
Rumor has it.
With 21, her R&B and jazz influences become even more evident than they were in her first release. If Adele already obtained star status with 19, hits from 21, such as Rumor Has It and Someone Like You, catapulted her into superstardom. Growing up as a dancer, myself, I remember ever since the release of 21 in 2011, you could always count on at least one jazz number being an Adele song. She was everywhere. The radio, TV, iTunes, your local HMV. In February of 2011, she had two songs in the top five singles charts, while simultaneously having two albums in the top five of the album charts. The only other artist to ever do this before her included the Beatles and 50 Cent. The album itself stayed at number one for 11 weeks straight, which also was breaking records, one that was previously held by Madonna, for the longest standing female artist in this position. The record went on to sell over 30 million copies. The album also helped to cement Adele's image as the ultimate heartbreak songstress, challenging other notorious female writers such as Taylor Swift. However, I think Adele sets herself apart from these other artists labeled as breakup songwriters, as her lyrics are a bit more sophisticated than the likes of Swift, who often tailors to younger audiences. Even at the ages of 19 and 21, Adele communicated true heartbreak to millions, and women and other people of all ages clearly related to it.
All you think you gave me is time to say goodbye, to turn the tables, to turn the tables.
Since this is Adele's most successful album, and personally my favorite of hers, let's take a closer look at the numerous hits that make up the track list. To start, we have track number one, Rolling in the Deep. At the time that Adele was ready to start recording her second album, she had just gone through her first real adult breakup. After meeting with producer Paul Epworth, she decided to take him on to produce 21. For the average producer, it seemed obvious to make the album into a collection of heartbroken ballads, but Epworth saw a fire of anger in Adele after her breakup that he insisted on utilizing. When they went into the studio one day, the lyrics for Rolling in the Deep in hand, Adele was prepared to record a ballad, but Paul told her to, point blank, be a bitch about it. What resulted was a fierce pop ballad with a beat that matches, according to the singer, her pounding heartbeat. The song that ended up on the album was actually the initial demo they recorded that very day. It was supposed to be re-recorded, but they couldn't capture the same fire that was in Adele that very first day. So, what you hear on the record is in fact her raw emotions at play. In her own words, Rolling in the Deep was Adele's response to being told that my life was going to be boring and lonely and rubbish, and that I was a weak person if I didn't stay in the relationship. I was very insulted and wrote that as a sort of F you. It's the perfect opening song to set the tone for the entire album. The steely and thundering sounds establish 21 as a more intense successor to 19. With age, Adele has become, as she put it, less pathetic. She said that the album was less about sulking and hanging her head about heartbreak and more about saying, "All right then, it's over. F off out of my house. Pack your bags, get out of my bed." Rolling in the Deep is one of her most successful songs to date, ranking third on her most popular songs on Spotify. Have a listen.
Could have had it.
second track on the record was also a hit, and is one of my personal favorites. As Adele comes into womanhood in this album, she assumes a much fiercer role than she did in 19, as I kind of touched on before. Rumor has it, perfectly encapsulates this version of Adele. It's sultry and without remorse. The thundering beat is one of my favorite elements of the entire album, and again, adds to this kind of bitchy intensity that fuels the record. The song was co-written with Ryan Tedder, the lead vocalist of the band One Republic. He has said that the instrumentation of the track was inspired by a Radiohead song, which to me is a bit shocking, given that he also described the song as having a dirty blues feel to it. The song descriptor seems a bit more accurate. This blues element can be mainly heard in the pulsing percussion and backup vocals, and could very well be why it's one of my personal favorites from the songstress. Something I love about Adele is that she can be classified as many different genres, but it's almost pointless to try and put her in a box this way. She has clear influences, sure, but her music itself is always mixing elements of different genres to make something completely new and always captivating. As for the lyrics of the song, Adele has said that it was inspired by her experience returning home after touring. Arriving back in London, many of her friends began questioning her about things they'd heard she'd done and people they'd heard she'd hooked up with, and all of this was just completely false, all rumors. So, when it came time to record the song, she went to the studio with fresh lyrics and a fuming rage that she emptied out into the booth. This again showcases Adele's transition from a naive teenager to a young woman with something to say.
He's the one I'm leaving you for.
Tedder also helped Adele write the album's third track, Turning Tables. Turning Tables returns to the power ballad format that is more in line with the type of style that we were hearing in 19. It was the last single released before the entirety of the album was put out in 2011, and much like the other singles, was met with both commercial and critical success. Although the song has a less intense sound, it still follows suit with the kind of FU attitude of the record. The simple melody played on the piano makes for a more timid quality, but Adele's vocals and the lyrics themselves give it the perfect amount of punch. The song was again a collaboration with Ryan Tedder, and it was Tedder himself that came up with the title, piano melody, and opening lyrics. He felt as though the phrase "turning tables" was connected in a way to the major hit from Adele's first record, Chasing Pavements. When he pitched his idea to Adele, she loved it, saying the first lyric perfectly encapsulates her relationship with her ex.
Close enough to start a war. All that I have is on the floor. God only knows what we're fighting for.
Now on the same page, the pair decided to make the song autobiographical, making it consistent with the rest of the album. Adele said that after they finished mixing the song and had heard it for the first time, she bawled her eyes out for 20 minutes. The single reached the top 20 in 4 different countries, including Belgium, Italy, and the Netherlands.
The turning table. The turning table.
Another one of the artist's best-known songs is track number 5, Set Fire to the Rain. According to the singer, she wrote the lyrics to the song while out for dinner at a restaurant. She went outside for a cigarette, but was struggling to light it in the rain. She said the idea just kind of popped into her head. It was like chasing pavements. You can try and try, but it's impossible to actually set fire to rain. I won't drone on about how the song is connected to her ex-boyfriend and blah blah blah, as I'm sure you're aware of that at this point. And, well, the entire album is.
But I set fire to the rain. Watch it burn as I touch your face. When it burn, will I cry? Cause I heard it screaming out your name. Your name.
Here's some impressive stats for you. The single, the third release from the album, topped the Billboard Top 100 Adult Top 40, Adult Contemporary, and the mainstream Top 40 charts. It was certified quadruple platinum for selling 4.5 million copies, and it charted in countries around the world, including Austria, Denmark, Finland, France, Ireland, Italy, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, and Switzerland. In Canada alone, it went 5 times platinum. To put it plainly, Set Fire to the Rain is likely one of the most popular and influential pop songs to come out of the 2010s. Now, the last song from 21 that I want to touch upon quickly is the closing track, Someone Like You. In an interview, Adele described the record as a sort of polar opposite to Rolling in the Deep. In Rolling in the Deep, she's saying, screw you, I don't need you, I never did, I'll be fine on my own. Whereas in Someone Like You, she's kind of on her knees. In this way, there's a bit more vulnerability in the record's final song, which is a bit refreshing. Don't get me wrong, I adore the overall attitude of the record. I think the strong feminine charge behind it is what makes it so fantastic. But the hint of worry and anxiety and kind of reality that slips in at the end with Someone Like You grounds the message of the entire album. After all, no one's truly invincible after a breakup. There's always that worry that the other person will somehow be better off without you. The singer said that she just kept imagining herself at 40 and running into him somewhere with his beautiful wife and kids, and she's still alone. This fear is what inspired the song.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you.
In my opinion, 21 is not just one of Adele's best albums, but one of the best pop albums of the 21st century. Yes, it was met with a lot of commercial success, which I'm sure is not exactly a selling point for listeners of this show, but I think that the success is completely warranted. The album itself is consistent in theme and sound and is different in many ways from the singer's first release. 19 showed Adele's potential as an artist, but 21 made her the artist. 21 won Adele 6 Grammy Awards. Record of the Year for Rolling in the Deep, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, again for Rolling in the Deep, Best Pop Solo Performance for Someone Like You, Best Pop Vocal Album, and Best Short Form Music Video, again for Rolling in the Deep. For much of 2011, Adele was on top of the world. But remember that complication I was talking about earlier? That same year, Adele had to undergo the throat surgery I previously mentioned to repair a hemorrhage. This left many fans fearful that she would never return. And what a crime that would have been, only getting 2 incredible albums from this singer and never hearing from her again. Others worried that the procedure would affect the sound or quality of the singer's voice. However, this anxiety was eased a bit with the announcement that Adele would be writing and recording the title track for the 2012 Bond film, Skyfall.
Let the sky fall when it crumbles, we will stand tall, we'll face it all together. Let the sky fall when it crumbles.
With the release of Skyfall, it was evident that Adele's surgery was in fact a success. Some people had speculated that the surgery still changed her voice, making it less husky and more smooth. But that's not the type of vocal change that would likely come with a surgery such as this one. There is the rare case, such as with the Sound of Music star Julie Andrews, that the range and quality of a singer's voice can change. But this was not the case with Adele. The smoother quality of her voice is likely just the result of working with vocal coaches. I mean, it makes sense. Keep in mind, Adele was only 19 when she had her big break. Obviously, she still had room to improve as a vocalist. However, some were still persistent in worrying over whether or not we would get another Adele album. After Skyfall, nothing was heard from the star for over 3 years. Some of this time off could have been due to her health struggles, but much of it was also attributed to her personal life. In October of 2012, she gave birth to her first son, Angelo, with her then-husband, Simon Konecki. She wanted her son to grow up as grounded as possible, despite her global fame, and took some time off during the first few years of his life. After this time off, it was back to work for the singer as she began working on her third album, 25. In her grand return to the pop charts, Adele put out her third record in November of 2015. The album had four singles in its massive promotional campaign, which included Hello, Send My Love to Your New Lover, When We Were Young, and Water Under the Bridge. Some coined it as a makeup record, given much of the lyrical content surrounds a much different perspective from her other releases. Discussing her most recent release, which, don't worry, we'll get there, an interviewer described 19 as about him, 21 is about her, 25 is about we, and 30 is about me. And Adele agreed with this statement. With 19, she was a young girl writing about her lost loves, and at 21, she was a remorseless woman who didn't mind exposing those who crossed her in her love affairs. And at 25, she was a mother in her mid-20s, looking back at these earlier years with these ex-lovers and friends from a retrospective point of view. There's a great deal of nostalgia and yearning for the past in 25, which is new thematic territory for Adele. Although many fans and critics alike enjoyed this new perspective, some took it as quite the opposite. A few critics expressed their distaste for 25, saying that Adele had become too comfortable, predictable, and formulaic. I can see where they're coming from in a way. A few sped-up songs with a strong beat but simple melody, a few power ballads, we've seen this before with her previous releases, but that isn't to say that it's a bad thing. I think that although there's a similar mixture in song types on each record, if song structure is what we're looking at, but the progression of Adele as an artist and simply a person is clearly there. However, I will agree that the record, in contrast with her first two, lacks a bit of authenticity. Adele herself has said something similar about 25. She barely remembers writing it, admittedly rushing much of it because she just had a baby and was taking care of him. She had said that at this point in her career, music was moving away from being something that she used as an outlet and became more of a chore since it was finally solidified as her career. She didn't have the passion or almost need to be in the studio like she used to be. In the earlier years of her life, making music was an escape. But at 25, it simply just became something she had to do.
My God, this reminds me of when we were young. Let me photograph you in this light in case it is the last time that we might be.
Despite a lack of passion, I would argue that sonically, 25 sets itself apart from her earlier work. It's a bit cleaner and moves away from some of the blues-inspired tunes that were hits on 21, moving a little farther into the pop side of things. I guess this makes a good deal of sense given that the collaborators on the album included the usual pairing of Paul Epworth and Ryan Tedder, but also included the likes of pop production legend Max Martin.
If you're gonna
For my personal taste, 25 is likely my least favorite of the first three albums, but that's not to say it isn't a good album. I myself just like less pop-sounding records. The one song that I do have downloaded from the album, however, is track number 2, Send My Love to Your New Lover. Have a listen. So overall, I would say 25 is Adele's least dazzling release, which just goes to show that authenticity can carry you as a musician. You can create a sonically flawless album and work with some of the best producers in the industry, but if your heart isn't in it, you'll never top the releases you poured your heart and soul into.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. I can see you crystal clear. Go.
Now, for the whole reason I decided to make this episode, let's talk 30. In her first release in 6 years, Adele put out her most honest and personal album to date. On November 19th, 2021, Adele released 30, a record that she wrote as part of the healing process after her divorce from Simon Konecki. Just looking at the running time of the record will tell you that the album sets itself apart from the rest of the singer's discography in that it was not really made to appeal to pop radio as much as the other ones were. Track times vary from 3 minutes to nearly seven. This fact alone, at least to me, alludes to this being a more experimental record in comparison to her earlier releases. The musical style throughout the album does in fact vary, with some tunes similar to something you might hear out of Mary Poppins, as Adele described it herself, not me, to piano-backed slow jams. The songs stray from the usual breakup power ballads we're used to from the singer, but are still heavily delivering on that emotional front. Let's take a closer look.
I'll be taking flowers to the cemetery of my heart for all of my lovers in their present and in the dark.
Adele has said that she hadn't written the first lyric of that song until she stepped up to the mic that day when it came to recording. Apparently, the individual she was working with in the studio had to ask if she was okay, to which she replied that that's just how she's feeling. It is clear from this very first line that this is in fact a breakup record, but not in the traditional Adele fashion we've come to know. It's a bit more somber, a bit more serious. After all, this time it wasn't just a relationship that was ending, but a marriage as well, one involving her 9-year-old son.
Strangers by nature.
The opening track, Strangers by Nature, definitely has the kind of Mary Poppins sound that Adele was talking about. It's a gentle introduction to the album that ends with a raw-sounding recording of the singer scatting and saying, "All right, I'm ready." It's a great way to ease into an album full of such heavy subject matter. My only issue with it is the home recording sound, but with that scatty part, simply because we've heard this about a million times from artists who recorded albums during the pandemic. Admittedly, Adele finished much of this album before the pandemic hit, so it's only coincidental. Nonetheless, it's just a bit tired to me at this point. As I said before, the record varies in terms of track running times, and this one is one of the shortest of the album. It's a sweet little intro for what's to come.
Go easy on me, baby. I was still a child. Didn't get the chance to feel.
The second track, Easy on Me, is the only single from the entire record. In this song, it's immediately evident that although this may be a breakup album, it departs from the typical Adele revenge storyline we've come to associate with the artist. She takes a step back from her typical offensive stance to beg for mercy at the end of this relationship. She herself described it as grown up in the sense that it deals with adult subjects of having to face your life and knock it all down to rebuild yourself. The singer recently said in an interview that she wanted Easy on Me to be the single and the second track on the record because it set the tone of the rest of the album lyrically, and I couldn't agree more.
There ain't no room for things to change when we are both so deeply stuck in our ways.
The third track on the record is, in my opinion, one of her best. My Little Love is a tribute to her son, Angelo. From a unique perspective that I'm sure many people can relate to and will love hearing on this record, Adele sings to her young son about how she sees her divorce affecting him. Throughout the song, there are sound bites of the singer in conversation with her young son. I won't tell you the exact details, as I encourage you to listen to this whole album on its own, get a feel of it for yourself, and really get into it. But I will say that the conversational snippets add just another layer of heartfelt authenticity and transparency to the song. You can tell that in the process of writing it, Adele was in the thick of these emotions and getting back to using music as a means of dealing with them and getting through this difficult part in her life. The message of the song can be summed up in the lines, "I'm holding on, mama's got a lot to learn." So with this track, and I'm guessing pretty much the rest of them, it becomes pretty evident that this is a departure from 25, where Adele was just using her music to make music because that was her job. This is clearly a passion project in itself and was a means of which she was able to rebuild herself after this traumatic experience of going through a divorce and having to watch your child, watch you deal with all of these very strong emotions. And that really comes through in this track as well as the rest of them. But, you know, this one specifically is for Angelo. And I gotta wonder what it will be like when he's old enough to listen to it and really comprehend it, what his takeaways would be from it. I'm holding on. The track is quite different from what we usually get from Adele. It isn't as thundering and powerful as her more upbeat hits, but also isn't a sweeping ballad either. Whatever this middle ground is, it is extremely refreshing and pairs perfectly with the message of the song. The next song on the album that I want to discuss is track number 4, Cry Your Heart Out. All my friends keep on telling me that this feeling won't last. After the deep emotional journeys of the first three tracks, we get a bit of a break, in terms of tempo at least, with track 4, Cry Your Heart Out. With this song, it becomes very obvious to me that this album is, as I mentioned before, not about her, or him, or we, but about me. It's about Adele. It's almost as if listening through the tracklist, you go on this journey with the singer of trying to heal herself. This song is a cry for help a bit, but not in a doomed way. She questions when she will start to feel like herself again after the events of her divorce, but the chorus is a reassuring chant that enables her to go on. The overall message of the song is also encouraging for others who may be going through something similar. And that's always a plus, isn't it? Okay, I know I'm usually a bit more selective about songs that I cover when reviewing albums, but I have to talk about the very next track again on the album. Track number 5, Oh My God. Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe it. All the people in the world, what is never like the little jumping out of my life and in the old. As soon as I heard this track, the backing track reminded me a lot of the sound I've come to associate with Sam Smith, another pop powerhouse from Britain that rose to fame, I want to say a bit after Adele. The track itself is a complete break from the emotional whirlwind of the rest of the album, and is overall just a great, catchy pop tune. It reminds me a bit more of 21 than many of the other songs on the album, in the sense that it's a bit more plucky sounding lyrically, if that makes sense. I'm also extremely impressed by the background vocals on the track, which are in fact all Adele. Have a listen. Coming down to the wire, we have 2 more songs to discuss from the album, or at least the ones that I'm really eager to talk about. There's plenty more, and I encourage you to have a listen for yourself. The first of these 2 that I want to talk about is another more lighthearted tune, and it's called All Night Parking Interlude. I know you've got things to do. I do too. I just want to spend all my time with you. To me, this song is a great, simple example of how Adele's sound has changed and how she's managed to develop a unique, all-encompassing sound for this record that's much different from her previous releases. The slow but jazzy song is incredibly catchy, sultry, and just a bit of fun. It is, in fact, the perfect interlude for the album, and the piano in the background? Fantastic. So I guess we have Errol Gardner to thank for that one. All night long. All night. The last song on the entire record, Love is a Game, is what I came here to hear. As soon as I heard Adele was putting out a new album, I was very excited, and I said before, I'm a firm believer in that no one does what she does. The song is Adele. It builds, it has belting vocals, and of course it deals with relationships. I think it was a genius ending to the album. It's as if Adele is addressing her entire life, not just the relationship that just ended. She's learned time and time again that love hurts and it's a torturous game, but she continues to play it. We all do, and we throw our hearts on the line willingly, knowing the stakes. Although she sings about being a fool for falling in love, the beautiful swelling in the instrumental and the fantastic vocals at the end leave me with a bit more of a hopeful feeling than the lyrics alone provide. It makes it seem as though Adele has made it through the mud in this record, and now she's out the other side as a new woman, ready to play the game on her own terms. That concludes this week's episode of The Downbeat. Thank you so much for listening. I know it's a bit of a different topic than my usual topics on this show, and I'm sure Adele is not exactly the taste for many people who enjoy, I guess, classic rock tunes, but I love her, and although I don't really listen to a lot of modern music, a lot of pop music, I know she is one of the people that can do it well, that I can listen to one of her records, listen to one of her songs, and know that I'm going to get quality from it every single time. So when 30 came out, I knew I had to talk about it. It was something I was passionate about, and I hope you enjoyed. And if you have any comments you want to send my way, send them to my Instagram. It's Megan Folsom. No dots, no spaces. MEGANFULSOM. So thank you again so much for listening. Hopefully I'll see you next time. Bye.